You may be seated. Well, please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we're going to look at this psalm together for a few moments this morning. And then in our second service, we'll be turning our attention to Acts chapter 2, where Peter quotes from Psalm 16 to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But I want to give our attention to Psalm 16 first this morning, and I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this beautiful song of David together this morning. Psalm 16, this is the word of the Lord. A miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is Resurrection Day, and it is therefore a day to sing. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to turn your attention to a resurrection song from Scripture itself, to Psalm 16, a resurrection song from the Old Testament. You see that this is a song already in the title of this psalm, a miktam of David. The word miktam is a musical or liturgical term indicating that this is a song, and it is a song of David, the sweet singer of Israel. At first glance, I suppose this may seem like a strange place to turn on Resurrection Day. But I want to do so for a couple of reasons this morning. First of all, we've just recently finished our study on the life of David. And so much of David's life and of his faith and many of his songs are still fresh in our minds. And so this seems like a good opportunity to reflect on this psalm of David as well. But then secondly, and more importantly, if David could sing of the resurrection prior to the coming of Christ, then how much more can we sing of the resurrection after the coming of Christ? And then finally, as I just mentioned, in the book of Acts, both Peter and Paul preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead from this very song of David. And so with that, let's dive into Psalm 16 for a few moments, this beautiful resurrection song. Just 2 points to this sermon this morning, 2 points in this song. First of all, confidence in God, verses 1-6, and then communion with God in verses 7 to the end. We begin where David begins, with confidence in God. You see the way he opens this song, verses 1-2, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Well, as with many of David's psalms, we don't know exactly when in David's life he wrote Psalm 16 or sang the words of this beautiful psalm. But we do know that it was certainly in a time of great crisis. He begins the psalm by crying out to God, "Preserve me, guard me, keep me, protect me." As David continues with this song that's penned and sung in the midst of a great crisis, we find out that the crisis that David is facing is death. That doesn't necessarily mean that he wrote this song near the end of his life. This could be perhaps on the eve of a battle. Maybe he knows that the very next day he will be going to face a great enemy. And he has certainly seen death all around him in the battles that he has fought. And maybe it's on the eve of a great battle. Or perhaps this was when he was fleeing from his enemies, maybe from Saul or from Absalom. Always just a step ahead of death. Certainly, whatever the situation is, it's death that is confronting him. And that's what makes this psalm so relatable for each one of us. Because that's the enemy every one of us has to face as well. Some of you have faced it straight in the face. Maybe through a diagnosis, maybe as you're growing older, maybe you think upon death more and more. What do you do when you think upon death? What do you do when you see the reality that death is coming for you? Well, David gives us great instruction here. Here he is, perhaps on the eve of battle, knowing that death is a very real possibility within the next 24 hours. And what does he do? He looks to God as his refuge and protection. Notice verse 2, "I say to the Lord." David here is calling upon God as his covenant Lord, the God who has bound himself to him, the God who has made wonderful promises to him, even that promise of a son who would be seated on the throne forever, on an everlasting throne. Well, these promises were exceedingly precious to David, and especially in times of crisis like these. And I wonder for you, if you've thought upon death, has it directed you to the promises of God? That He is faithful, that He is your refuge, that He is your strength, that He is the one who holds on to you still. Well, this is where David looks. He knows that every crisis he faces with the Lord on his side. He says, "I have no good apart from you." And then he goes on in verses 3 and 4 to say, "The Lord, or as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips." Well, here in verse 3, David, again, is facing the very real prospect of death. And so often when we think upon death, we think about our life. And we think about those who are important to us in life, those that we love, those that we cherish, those that have made life so sweet and so wonderful, those who have doubled our joys and halved our sorrows. And certainly that's what David is doing here. He's expressing his delight in the saints in the land, literally the holy ones of the land, the set apart ones. David is delighting in the people of God, and he delights in them because they are God's people and because he knows God delights in them. And even as he delights in God's people, he abhors that which God abhors. In verse 4, there's the very opposite of the saints in the land. These are the wicked, the covenant breakers, the idolaters. David says their sorrows will multiply. As Psalm 16 continues, you find David's joy increasing. His happiness increases. But for the wicked, those who turn away from God, it's just the opposite. Sorrows are multiplied to them in ever increasing abundance. It will get worse and worse for them. And so David says, "I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood. I will not take the names of their gods on my lips." David has chosen the Lord. And he makes that abundantly clear in verses 5 and 6, where he says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. David says, I have chosen the Lord. He is the cup from whom I drink. He is the one who holds my lot. In other words, David is saying, the Lord is the one who is in control of my entire life. He holds the path that I walk. He holds the steps that I take. He holds on to me. The Lord knows the purposes He has for me, and He will accomplish those purposes all the way my Savior leads me. And then those beautiful words of verse 6, where David is confessing, even as he doesn't know whether he will live many more hours or many more days, he confesses, my life is not random. My life is not by chance. There are no accidents in my life. God is the one who is sovereign over my life, and He is the one who makes all things beautiful in His time. He knows the lines, and they are good lines, pleasant lines. It doesn't always mean everything goes well. It doesn't mean that life is always a bowl of cherries. Sometimes it is through thorny ways that God leads to a joyful end. But there is always, before David and before those who believe in the Lord, a blessed inheritance. How does David know that? He knows it because he knows the Lord is committed to him. And so here is David facing death, and what is he doing? He's singing. Singing because he has confidence in his God. Singing in the face of the greatest enemy, the last enemy, death itself. Singing because he knows that nothing can separate him from his God. And that brings him to the second stanza of this beautiful song, where he moves from singing about his confidence in God and who he is and what he does, and now begins to sing of communion with God. Look at verses 7 and 8. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Well, here is David, likely in the evening hours of the day, as darkness begins to fall. And maybe you've experienced this in your life too, that oftentimes it's at night and in the evening, and as we try to sleep, that our hearts are most overwhelmed, when we feel most afflicted by the fears and the trials and the anxieties of life. And yet here is David beginning the hours of the night and saying that the Lord gives me counsel. My heart instructs me during the night seasons as I continue to look to the Lord. He's going to continue to call to mind who God is and the wonderful promises that God has made. This is what counsels him. This is what instructs him. This is what keeps him from being shaken, even in the face of death. He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Here is David singing of his stability in the face of death. He knows that death cannot and will not separate him from God. And this fills his heart with great joy. Look at verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. There is this increasing joy in David's heart as he sings to the Lord. He's filled with gladness. He's filled with joy. He says, my whole being rejoices in the Lord. Even my flesh dwells secure. And he tells us why. Look at verse 10. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. David is confident here as he faces death that God will not abandon him, that God will not forsake him, even in death. That God will not leave him to rot in the grave. How can David be confident? How can he be confident in these things? Well, look at the end of verse 10. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Literally, David sings here, you will not let your steadfast one see corruption. You will not let your steadfast one see corruption. As I said, we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but whenever it was, certainly David had learned by now that he was a sinner. Certainly he had learned by now that he was not always steadfast in following the Lord, and so David can't be singing of himself here. So who is he singing of? Well, he's singing of Christ. If you turn over in your Bibles for a moment to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at this in our second service a little more fully this morning, but let me at least introduce it here. Acts chapter 2, it's Pentecost Sunday. Peter is preaching the very first sermon of the Christian era. The Spirit has been poured out, and Peter immediately in this sermon goes to proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Pick up our reading there in Acts 2 at verse 25, where Peter is speaking of Christ's resurrection, and listen to what he says. For David says concerning him, that is concerning Christ, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Well, Peter here in this wonderful sermon is telling us that David was singing of Christ, singing of Christ's resurrection. Christ is the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Steadfast One. It has to be Jesus of whom David is singing. After all, David died. He was buried. His tomb was still there in Acts chapter 2. David is not referring to himself when he says, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. He's singing of Christ. He's singing of his greater Son, the Son whom God had promised him, the Son that would sit forever on the throne, the Son whose throne is an everlasting throne. Now, to be sure, David could not see this in all of its fullness, but he saw enough to sing. He knew that God's promises were true, and so he could look beyond the grave to unending communion with God. And so that wonderful verse with which David ends Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David sings because he knows that nothing can separate him from the love of God, even as he looks death in the face. You see, life is not about avoiding death at all costs. Life is about living in communion with God, a communion that never ends. I remember many years ago visiting with an elderly gentleman who was going in for heart surgery. And the doctors told him that there was the possibility he might not survive that heart surgery, and yet he needed the surgery in order to live. And I remember talking with him ahead of time and asking him if he was prepared for the surgery, and he said, well, the way I look at it, either way I win. If I come through the surgery, I go home. If I don't survive the surgery, I go to a greater home. This was a man who had fought in World War II Over 4 years spent in the Philippines. Over a month of that time was spent on the front lines. He went, I think it was over 40 days without a shower, without changing any of his clothes. Many of those nights he spent in foxholes. By the end of the war, of his entire company, there were only five who had not been shot. He was one of them. All of this he experienced as a young man between the ages of 18 and 22. And he would often say to me, you know, in many ways, he said, I lived the last reel of my life first. He was one of the most fearless men I ever met. Because he had stared death in the face. And he knew the one to whom he belonged. And he knew that the communion that he had with God was something that death itself could not destroy. And so he could say, either way, I win. You see, that communion with God that David sings of, that this gentleman spoke of, is a communion that begins in this life and is not taken away by death. It's not destroyed by death. It's not even interrupted by death. David saw that and it led him to sing. And if David could sing of life beyond the grave prior to the coming of Christ, then how much more can we sing after the coming of Christ? And so this morning, we're singing many hymns, many resurrection hymns. And let me just point out to you a moment how many of those hymns speak about singing. Singing praises to our God. The first song we sang this morning, Come Ye Faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. I'm going to sing in just a few moments, Sing, choirs of New Jerusalem, your sweetest notes employ. And I encourage you to pay attention as we go into the second service. Nearly every one of the songs that we sing speak about singing. Singing praises to our great God. Let me just point out one of the ones we'll be singing in our second service. That beautiful hymn, The Strife is O'er, The Battle Done. It begins with the refrain of Alleluia. It ends with the refrain of Alleluia. And at the end of every stanza, there is this focus upon singing. The song of triumph has begun. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. All glory to our risen head. Let hymns of praise His triumph tell. That we may live and sing to Thee. Today is Resurrection Day. It's a day to sing. No matter what crisis you may be facing, no matter what trial you may be enduring, no matter what tears you may be crying, I fear no foe. With Thee at hand to bless, ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. And Resurrection Day proclaims to you, dear Christian, that the risen Christ abides with you now and that He abides with you always. And so let us live and let us sing as those who belong to the risen, reigning, and returning King. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful for the wonderful promises of Your Word. We're so thankful that we can face every crisis, every trial, every hardship in life, knowing that You are on our side. Even that last great enemy of the death itself, we can face, knowing that even then we cannot be separated from You. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. And we shall live forever with Him. So fill our hearts with joy and peace and open our mouths to sing Your praises. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.